Hello, and welcome to the Life Church of Athens weekly sermon podcast. Join us as we dive into God's Word and grow together as we strive to love God, love people, and make disciples.
Good morning, church. All right, let's try that one more time. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
All right, that is so much better. I do hope and pray that there is an expectation in the room this morning. There's something that happens when my preparation meets your expectation, and there comes an illumination, and God comes and He does what He does. And so we're here this morning to hear from Him. We're here this morning to engage in this thing together. We had a great service this morning at the 9 o'clock, and I'm thrilled for this moment together once again. I do want to celebrate really quick. You know, we had a members class a couple of weeks ago, and that's something that we take very seriously here at Life Church. To be a part of this fellowship is, to us, one of the greatest joys that we could ever experience, that people would say, yes, we want to lock in with this church. We feel like this is our home, and these are our people. And so at that meeting, we asked folks to take, you know, what they've heard, pray about it. Don't just make a quick rash decision. And so we've had people and families that have said, yes, we are locked in. And so I just want to let you know this morning, you guys got some new family members, right? So let's celebrate Jessica Holcomb, who's now a part of our fellowship officially. Amen. And the Ulrich family, who are part of our fellowship too. Let's celebrate that. Awesome. We had a few more this morning that were here with us, Alex and Dakota. And Lord willing, there are more to come. God is adding to His church, and I'm thankful for it. So let's look at the Word together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is where we land this morning, verses 13 through 18. We're going to track through this together like we always do, and we're going to see what thus saith the Lord. The sermon title for this morning is Don't Lose Heart. Don't lose heart. It is a timely word for us today, and I know you're going to be blessed by it. Paul, he's writing this letter to the Corinthian church. There are a lot of things that are happening within the church that are seeking to influence the church negatively. There are false prophets. There are false ideologies. There's temple worship. There's worship to idols. So many things that Satan would seek to use to disrupt the church. And it's really no different today. He still seeks to do those things and to try to disrupt the church, but the gospel cannot be defeated. Your God is undefeated. And so this morning, we're going to look at the text to see how we can be encouraged in this walk called life. Let's read together verse 13, chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. It reads, Paul says this, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed, so I spoke, we also believe, so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Let's pray. God, this morning we are at your feet, God, to hear your word and not just hear it, but be doers of the word. So God, we come before you with open hands, open hearts, God, open eyes, open ears. Jesus, I pray that this just not be another moment where we come and just sit and hear a good little message and then we go home and nothing changes. God, I pray that this would wreck us this morning. God, that it would literally cause us, Father, to see you in light of the tragedies that befall us, the things that beset us, God, and knowing that your word is the standard. It is the rock that holds us together. So, God, speak to us. Speak through me, your servant. God, we love you. Through the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So what I want to do is use verse 16 as the underpinning foundational thought of the whole text this morning. Verse 16 is what's going to hold everything else up. And from verse 16, we're going to get our application and some points to really drive home what the Lord is saying through Scripture this morning. And what we see is that Paul here in chapter 4, verse 1, we studied this a few weeks ago, but Paul says this in verse 1 of chapter 4, by declaring, since we have this ministry, we also have received mercy, and we do not lose heart. And so I look at that, and I'm like, yes, great. Don't lose heart. We've received the ministry. We've got mercy to accommodate the ministry, and we don't lose heart. That's great. But then what you find in the rest of the chapter is that Paul, he begins to describe these death-like sufferings that he's going to endure in this ministry that he's been given. And it's like, appreciate that. I'm glad I got the ministry, but all these other things come with it. Paul begins to describe the suffering that he experiences. There's mercy, there's ministry, and then Paul begins to talk about tragedy and suffering. It's great to get the ministry, but Paul says there are also more things that come with it. I think about it like this. I think about those young, vibrant, energetic people that begin to describe children and what they're going to do with their children and how they're going to raise their children. But the thing is, they ain't got no children, right? They're talking about all these things that are going to happen and how they're just going to have all this fun with their kids, and they're going to go to the park every weekend and do arts and crafts every night, and they're going to teach their kid by one to be able to read, and their kid's never going to misbehave, right? And they're going to make all organic food at every meal. It's just going to be perfect, right? But what happens is once that kid turns about two, or once you have a kid times two, things change, okay? Yes. So the going to the park becomes go play outside. That's what it becomes, right? Instead of the arts and crafts and all that, the arts and crafts is them throwing mac and cheese all over the table and the floor. That's what it becomes. The organic food is the corn chip in the couch that's been there for 3 weeks, and you're like, yeah, it's pretty.
Good check. Hey, so things change a little bit when you face the reality that you got the ministry and you're excited about what you've been gifted and what you've been given. You're excited to embark in the new journey, the new opportunity, the marriage, the new relationship. And these things are great, but you'll never realize how much you really need the phrase, don't lose heart, until you get into the situation. And you will need that phrase, don't lose heart, more than you can realize. And so it's in Scripture there for us, for a purpose and for a reason. Because in a moment, what you'll find and discover is that life, it has this way of illuminating this harsh reality that you can't plan for everything. You can't map out every single step in detail of your life. I know we would love to. And we try to, but you can't. And it's really hard to expect the unexpected of life. You found yourself going through things that would knock a giant to his knees. You find yourself in the midst of pain, in the midst of loss, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of being misunderstood, and the pressures, and being persecuted, and being struck down. And the question this morning, if I can be really, really honest, is how can I not lose heart? With all the things that you're dealing with that are piling up on you, that await you, how do I not lose heart? Well, beloved, this is where we see in Scripture the protecting and the preserving and the provisional nature of God. Because the truth is, He's already got a solution in place before you know you have a problem. He's already got this thing worked out and figured out. And so verse 16 here of this text, it's going to give us hope for today and strength for tomorrow. Verse 16, it reads, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Now, this outer shell, it refers to the human constitution, right? It refers to your mental faculties. It refers to your muscular ability. And what Paul says is, listen, you and I got to face the facts, right? Our outwardly self is wasting away. The gray hairs are going to come. Your back is going to crack, right? You are outwardly wasting away, and you can nip and tuck and pull and stretch as much as you possibly can. But the reality is that those are simple exterior modifications on a shell that has a date with the dirt. And that day will come should Jesus tarry. So outwardly we're wasting away, but here's the reality for those of us who are in Christ is that even though we're outwardly wasting away, there's something miraculous that is happening inwardly. Inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. Being renewed. There's a renewal process. That's why you can be down in your body, but up in your spirit. You can still have joy in the midst of pain and heartache and suffering. Now, think about this for a second. Our friends who are not believers in Christ, our family members who don't trust in Jesus, the truth is that they are outwardly wasting away as well. Their bodies are falling apart. There's pieces that are falling off, and they're trying to replace them, and their faculties are no longer what they once were either. And they're consumed with the fact that every day they look in the mirror, and it seems that the grim reaper is coming, and it's a tragic thing in their life because they're trying their best to prevent it. And because they are outwardly wasting away, because they don't have Christ, the sad reality is that they are also inwardly wasting away. What is a reality on the outside is also a reality on the inside. They are wasting away outwardly and inwardly. And this really does explain why 21st century mankind is so obsessed with the shell, because they feel like the improvements on the outside will somehow extend to the inside, and that if I can improve the outside, then I'll gain some value and worth on the inside. And there's this constant trying of seeking to cheat death. But you can't cheat death, no matter how much you try. But the reality for us who are in Christ this morning is that we don't fear death. We do what we can on this shell, right? We take care of it. We protect it. We preserve it. We do all those things. We feed it. We put makeup on it. We cut the hair and all this kind of stuff. And that's cool. But the reality for us is we don't fear death, because for us, death is not the end. It is simply the beginning to being in the presence of God. So even though this outwardly shell is wasting away, I rejoice in the fact that inwardly I'm being renewed, and there's more to it than just this life. We gain joy from that. And so what I want to do, like I said, I want to use verse 16 to really drive home the application. So I'm going to give us six reasons, according to verse 16, why we should not lose heart. Six reasons why we don't lose heart. The first reason is, according to verse 13, we don't lose heart because of what we believe. We don't lose heart because of what we believe. Verse 13 says, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak. What we see here is that Paul is quoting from Psalms 116. And if you read Psalms 116, you'll see that Paul, he's actually comparing his experience with the psalmist's experience. Notice what he says. He says, with that same spirit of faith, the same faith that the psalmist displayed, I also believed and so I spoke. Now, there is a tremendous message within that phrase. It is this, that belief in the heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, it must be accompanied by a declaration that Jesus is Lord. And that declaration that Jesus is Lord is not only a statement of our allegiance, but it is primarily a statement of truth regardless of your allegiance. And the truth that exists is that Jesus is Lord, period. Whether you believe it or not, He is Lord. That is a statement of fact, whether you have allegiance to that or not. Jesus is Lord. But your belief and my belief that Jesus is Lord, it also has to be accompanied by a public profession that Jesus is Lord. So it's not simply just believing that, but it's also living that out and proclaiming that with my life and with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Paul said, I believed and so I spoke. I believed and I spoke. There are many people who are very sincere about their belief in the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. But they also want to be secret about it at the same time. A privatized faith, if you will. I want you to know that the salvation that we experience, it demands not only an internal belief, but also an external proclamation. In Romans 10:9, we see that this is truth, that both of those are interwoven together. Romans 10:9, it says, if we believe in our heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. Some are not saved because they've only committed to this halfway. They've only responded halfway. That we want to simply say, yes, I believe it, but that's as far as it goes. I'm not going to proclaim it. I'm going to keep it privatized. That way I can go a different route if this don't work out. And we see that play out in Scripture. There were so many that said, yes, I believe because of the things that Jesus did. He performed miracles. He fed people. He created food out of nothing other than his word. And these people, they engage in it and they see it and they go, yes, I believe in that. But there was no living it. There was no proclamation. And here's the truth for us this morning. We will face the fact that either our secrecy will destroy our discipleship or our discipleship will destroy our secrecy. Let me say that again. Either our secrecy will destroy our discipleship, or our discipleship will destroy our secrecy. When you're a disciple of Jesus, when you realize what he has done in you and is doing through you, how he has saved you, redeemed you, rescued you, protected you, provided for you, and you know you're a disciple of Christ, there's no secrecy to that. I've got to live this out. I've got to proclaim this, that Jesus is Lord, he's Lord over my life. He's Lord over my situation. My discipleship will destroy my secrecy. And if we choose to remain privatized in our faith, it will destroy your discipleship. So we don't lose heart because of what we believe. The second point is that we don't lose heart because of our resurrection from the dead. Verse 14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. I think perhaps one of the most pivotal doctrines of the Bible that aid in personal evangelism is really understanding and explaining and speaking on the doctrine of the resurrection. The doctrine of the resurrection of Christ. That is not to minimalize other doctrines within Scripture, but it's paramount that we understand and that we're able to express and share and be excited about the doctrine of the resurrection. Because what I found is when I'm in conversation with non-believers and those people who like to debate back and forth and they got something for me and they can't wait to go, well, what about this? Oftentimes we find ourselves talking about things like, hey, do you believe in an old earth or a new earth? And we'll talk about that. We'll explain it. We'll discuss it. That's fine. Or they want to know something about the flood, and we'll talk about that, we'll discuss it, it's fine, or something about ecclesiology or eschatology, and that's great, we can talk about those things, but eventually, you must say to them, if Jesus Christ is not risen from the dead, then we are hopeless and helpless. If he's not risen from the dead, we are to be pitied above all others. The doctrine of the resurrection is paramount to our faith, that Christ, not only did he come and was born of a virgin and lived a sinless life and he died, but he rose again. He's not still in that tomb. And all of this hinged on him getting up again, on God raising him from the dead. If he was not raised from the dead, then we are hopeless and utterly helpless. So the doctrine of the resurrection is crucial, it's paramount. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, he writes about this. And it's evident for him that the fact that Christ was raised from the dead, it gave him strength and conviction in his life to do the ministry he was called to do. Him remembering the fact that Christ was raised from the dead. It puts things back in perspective for us. And this is why you and I don't lose heart. Because not only was Christ raised from the dead, but the scriptures say that he will raise us also. And so if I lose my life, I really haven't lost my life. Because my life is hidden in Christ. Because he is raised, I am raised as well. And the truth is that whenever this life ends for us and we get up on that great getting up morning, we will behold his face. We will be in his presence. The third reason that we don't lose heart is because our suffering is the strengthening of the church. It's the strengthening of the church. Verse 15, for it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. See, these are two great loves of Paul's life. One is bringing grace to others, and the other is bringing glory to God. And Paul says suffering has the ability to do both in one. To bring grace to others and glorification to God. And so what I want to say to us this morning is that wherever you find yourself in the pain, know that there is purpose in the pain. There is purpose in the pain. You never go through what you go through just simply for you. It's not just for you. There is purpose in the pain. There is a watching world and a watching church that is looking and observing our life. John Piper, he wrote a message. He preached a message titled, Don't Waste Your Suffering. I'd encourage you to go YouTube that, Google it, look it up. Don't waste your suffering. A great message. But we find that our suffering, it is intended to strengthen the church. Because we get to look at you in the midst of your suffering and see how you handle really, really hard things. See how you go through really, really difficult seasons of life. We get to watch you and see how you glorify God in the midst of really, really hard things. And there's a flip side to this as well. The church at large benefits you too, because we get to come and bear one another's burdens. We get to come alongside one another and bear one another up and encourage one another. This is why membership is so important. Being a part of a local church is so important, because you need somebody to do life with. You need somebody to be connected to, somebody that's going to help you and support you and love you, someone that you can grow with in the midst of your life, no matter where you are. If you're a student, middle school, high school, college, graduate, you're single, if you're married, if you're retired, doesn't matter. We need the local church. We need it. It is the strengthening of the church. Number four, we don't lose heart because of this light and momentary affliction. Now, it's ironic to me that Paul would say that anything he went through was light and momentary. If you know anything about Paul's life, you know that the things he went through were pretty brutal, gruesome. We know that he was stoned and beat to the point of where they thought he was dead, and they drug him out of the city. We know that he was shipwrecked. We know that he was snake bitten. We know that he was whipped. We know that he was jailed. He was hunted. And I'm thinking, all right, maybe one of those rocks, like, knocked something loose up there. Like, I don't know. Maybe he's a little too loopy because he's saying it's light and momentary. I'm like, Paul, do you remember what you went through, bro? This is crazy. But he says it's light and it's momentary. I think about Ashley, my wife, and with Spencer's birth and Nash's birth, she got epidurals. And Spencer's birth, the epidural was pretty easy, smooth sailing. But the one with Nash was not. It took multiple doctors to come in and get the epidural right. And so I'm sitting there holding her hand because that's all I can do. And I'm just like, I thank God I ain't a woman. This is crazy. But all I can do is hold her hand and just be there for her in the moment, and it's hard. So the second doctor comes in, he's like, all right, Miss Wood, if you can endure the next 10 minutes of pain, the next 6 hours are going to be nice, all right? You're going to be feeling all right for the next 6 hours. Matter of fact, you ain't gonna feel nothing at all, right? This is gonna be a breeze. So she grunts and bears it, and the next 10 minutes is pain. But the next 6 hours are joy. Now, Paul says that it is light and momentary affliction. Now, what he's saying is that it's not just you looking at your life going, okay, I'm going through this week, and this week alone. Or it's just 10 minutes of affliction and pain. If I can just get through these 10 minutes of affliction, then I will be okay. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, listen, this affliction that you're going to experience, it actually lasts a lifetime. But what is a lifetime compared to eternity? He says, you are going to go through a life of affliction. Some of us deal with that more than others. Some of us just, our lives are hard. They've been hard since you were a kid. They've been hard through school. They've been hard through raising kids and jobs, and it's just been a hard life. But Paul says, listen, your hardships might last a lifetime, but that is nothing compared to eternity. It is light and momentary compared to an eternity. Because you will face hardships in this life. You will experience loss and pain and suffering. But Paul says it's light and momentary. A lot of an eternity spent with Jesus. Fifthly, we don't lose heart because of an eternal weight of glory. In verse 17, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. See, for Paul, what is coming is not momentary, but eternal. A lifetime spent beholding your Savior. He's saying that is what is coming. It is preparing us for what will no longer be momentary, but will be eternal. What is coming is not light, but it's weighty. He says there's a weight of this. There's a weight of glory. There's a weight that comes with understanding that what we see is not all there is. He says what's coming is not affliction, but glory. And it is beyond all comprehension. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, he said, eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for those who love him. We cannot begin to imagine or fathom what lies ahead of us if we love him. I think about William Tyndale. He's a 15th century reformer, and I love studying the reformers. I love seeing just their life and the boldness that they had in the midst of tyranny, in the midst of a government that would try to suppress them and say, you can't do this particular thing. They stood in the face of that tyranny and said, we're going to stand on the gospel, even if it costs our life. And William Tyndale, he was one who would take scripture and would translate it so that common folk could read it and understand it. The government of the day, in particular the church of the day, they held scripture for the elite, right? They said only certain people can hold the scriptures and know and understand the scriptures. We'll teach it to y'all, meaning that we'll just teach y'all what we want y'all to hear. But William Tyndale said, no, everyone deserves to be able to read and understand the scriptures. So he began to translate the scriptures. Well, what happens with Tyndale is he was actually tried on charges of heresy for translating scripture. And his charge was to be condemned to be strangled and burned at the stake for translating the Word of God. What you find is why Tyndale was actually in prison awaiting death. He doesn't ask for a softer pillow. He doesn't ask for a warmer blanket. He doesn't ask for a better meal. What he asks for is pen and parchment so he can get these scriptures done before he's to be burned the next day. He says, I got to get this done. Because what I'm about to experience in this death, it is light and momentary affliction, but the Word of God and my purpose for being here is far greater than the pain I'm getting ready to experience. And so he gets his pen and his parchment, and he begins to translate scripture on the eve of his martyrdom. It said that while Tyndale was at the stake, he began to recite scripture aloud. And a soldier, a guard that was there, he said to Tyndale, he said, quiet down, for the king is here. Apparently the king was in the audience. And Tyndale responds, I will not, for the King of Kings is here. He said, I won't be quiet. And it said that Tyndale's last words as he was being burned alive was, oh Lord, open the King of England's eyes. And he's martyred for the sake of the gospel. For him, it was light and momentary affliction. Now, we're not being strangled, we're not being burned at a stake, but what are you having to die to today? What is it that is in your life that is trying to steal glory from God because we're not leveraging our suffering to the glory of God? What is it that we're missing this morning? How are we wasting our suffering? Finally, the sixth point as to why we should not lose hope is the unseen eternal glory to come. Verse 18, it says, as we look not to things that are seen, but to things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. As we close this morning together, Paul, he was saying this especially about his own life and his ministry. And what we would actually find in the world's eyes when they would look at Paul, they would actually say, Paul, man, you were actually a failure. All those things you went through, all the suffering that you had to go through, you're at the height of your career at one point, and you threw it all away. Now you find yourself getting ready to die for the gospel. Do you like being in the jails? Do you like being stoned? Man, you're a failure. But Paul, he recognized that the world only sees the outward and not the unseen eternal things. And when we look at the things which are seen and we look at our affliction, it doesn't look very light when we fixate on it. It doesn't look very light, doesn't feel very light. But when we look at the things which are not seen, then we see and appreciate this eternal weight of glory. Understand, too, this morning that Paul's not saying that all affliction will automatically equal and produce glory. It's possible for you and I to allow our sufferings to destroy us. It's possible for us to allow our sufferings to let us become bitter, miserable, self-focused. But if we will look to the things which are not seen, then our affliction will work in us an eternal weight of glory. And so my question for us this morning is, what are our eyes fixed on? What are we looking at? What are we gazing upon? Are we so focused on the seen? Are we so focused on the situation? Are we so submerged in the pain that we can't see the unseen? Next week, we're going to look at faith and how the scriptures say that we walk by faith and not by sight. What are your eyes fixed on this morning? There are so many things that would come and try to distract our eyes and our gaze away from Christ. Look at the world we're in right now. Look at the political mess that we're in right now. Look at the COVID mess that we're in right now. The racial tensions that we're in right now. There's so many things that would try to come and distract us from what is most important. And it is looking at those things through the lens of God's word. It's keeping our eyes fixed on what is unseen. It is walking by faith and not by sight. So what have we fixed our gaze on this morning? And what should we switch that to? Beholding Christ and his beauty and leveraging our suffering for the sake of his glory and seeing how it strengthens us and strengthens the church. But it all goes back to what we believe. And we don't lose heart. Even though our outer selves are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. I want to do something just as a time of response. And I'd love to have you guys come up here and me pray over you. And of course, we can't do that this morning, but if you find yourself in any situation of struggle this morning, in any suffering, and or if it's a loved one that you have or that you know, as a response of your faith and trust in God's word, I'm going to ask you to stand in just a second. If you find yourself in any kind of struggle this morning, and what we're doing is standing is acknowledging that, Lord, I need your help. I need to refix my eyes on you. I need to see this thing. I need to see what I can't see right now. I need to focus on the eternal weight and glory. That this that I'm struggling with, yes, it hurts. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's hard. But in relation to eternity, it is light and momentary. God, help me to leverage this for a greater glory than my own. And if that's you in this moment, I'm going to ask you to stand right now, wherever you are. Just stand as a sign of, Lord, I need you. I need to refocus my eyes this morning. Father, you see your people, God. You see that we are standing in the need of prayer, God. We just in this moment confess and repent right now, God, for just really focusing on the wrong things, God. We repent in this moment, God, for making it more about us than you. God, we repent for just allowing the situation to get more glory than our God. Father, help us to be salt and light, God, in the areas that desperately need it, Father. Help us to be agents of change, God, where we are. Help us to not only believe, but to publicly proclaim that you are Lord. And the statement of that truth is what drives our life. You are Lord. That means you get to determine and dictate my way in everything. So, God, we lay it before you this morning, God. We put it right at your feet, God. We take our hands off of it and say, Father, do what you will. There's nothing I can do to add to it or take from it. I can't change people. God, only you can change a human heart. You might find yourself working and working, and it's hard to make ends meet right now. But, God, you say you are our provider. You are the provision that we need. So again, we fix our eyes on you. So God, help us to do that in this moment. Help us to utilize that today. To your name, to your glory. Through Christ we pray. Amen. If everyone would stand, we're going to sing songs of worship together.
Thanks again for listening to the Life Church of Athens Weekly Sermon Podcast. For more information about our church, including service times and ministry opportunities, check out our website at lifechurchofathens.com and follow us on social media at LifeChurchATH.